Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes right here on WMAF to Let's Talk About Jesus. I'm so glad to be with you today. I don't know a better subject to talk about than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've just been listening to some great gospel music, I'd like you to stay tuned and to get a handle on what the gospel really is all about. Hallelujah. You know, gospel means good news. It's a very simplistic word, but it encapsulates all that God has done in Jesus Christ for us at the cross. When that message is preached in its fullness, in its entirety, it is called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the word simply means good news or happy news, something that will make your heart so very, very glad. And I think Dottie Rambo wrote a song years ago that really says it well. The world needs some good news bad. And we need that good news in the midst of so much bad news all around us. Well, I've got good news for you today because I am a preacher of righteousness. I am a preacher and proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we hope that you stay tuned there in Madison. If you're driving in your car, just stay tuned for a little while and let's go to God's eternal word. Today we're going to talk about Jesus, our Adonai, my Lord and my love. And I pray that this broadcast will be a blessing to you. And if you're listening by computer, to this radio station, and it is streaming. I'm glad that you have come back today to hear this broadcast. We pray that we have a broadening listening base for this station, which is a very unique station in that it is classic. Praise God. Classic country, classic gospel, classic preaching. Amen. And so we're just happy to have you listening today. Amen. I want to make some statements before we read from the Word of God today on the subject of Jesus, our Adonai. Let me begin by saying that I want to see a true revival in my generation. And I use that word true revival. Because we need to see something authentic. There have been so many things happen and revivals reported that got our hopes up that didn't follow through. The aftermath and the of the revival wasn't what true revival is representative of. I don't just want to hear of it in distant lands like China, South Korea, or South America. I want to see an authentic spiritual awakening right here in America. I believe that America, our nation, is becoming, and by all reports, a mission field for other nations to send missionaries to because they feel that we need the fire and the purity, the holiness, the righteousness that is being wrought in nations experiencing authentic revival. We need one of those revivals here in America. Wherever and whenever I have the opportunity, I want to challenge and I want to be challenged to live the authentic Christian life. I want to exalt His name and spread His fame. I want to see His manifest presence in the midst of His people once again, so that this year will become a year of challenge, and this year will become a year of change. Amen. You know, if you receive the Word of God according to the Scripture into a good ground heart, the Bible said it, the Word of God, as seed will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. That is mighty, powerful, progressive change that is supposed to be happening as we are exposed to God's Word. You know, if you there in Madison have a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching pastor and church, you need to get in there, support that ministry, and receive from the Word of God. Receive that seed. The Word is seed. When it finds a good ground heart, it has life in itself. Praise God. And it brings forth the product of the word, the fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me read this scripture to you from Acts 2:36. It says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." When Peter stood and proclaimed this message on the day of Pentecost, he didn't have all the revelation of the new covenant. That was to be revealed as time progressed, but he stood up with the knowledge that Jesus was Lord and Christ. Glory! He shook up Jerusalem with this message. He was given a name to proclaim, and that was the name of Jesus, who was both Lord and Christ. Christ means Messiah, the anointed one, the one it was prophesied of that would come, and the mighty Messiah of Israel. But he is also Lord. Amen. I believe it's vital that we understand that Jesus, our Savior, is not just Lord and not just Christ or Messiah. He is both. He is Lord and Christ. And friend, if you receive Him as your personal Savior, if you don't know Him, He is Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He can be yours today. Praise God. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Therefore, He can be nothing less than Lord. Jesus is our Adonai. In the Old Testament, the word Adonai was used instead of God's holy name, that four-letter holy name that was so holy and esteemed, YHWH. It is not a name in itself, but a title given to the Holy One of Israel. Adonai means Lord in the Hebrew tongue. Jews were very careful about the name of God. It was considered so sacred that it could not even be spoken, and is not to this day. Wherever the name of God appeared in Scripture and someone was reading it aloud, they substituted the word Adonai, which means Lord. When scribes copied the Scripture and came to write the name of God, they had to stop, wash their clothes, and take a bath before they could come back to the desk and write God's name. If God's name appeared four times in a sentence, they took four baths and washed their clothes four times. A Jew could be stoned in those days for saying God's name. And when they wrote His name, they would go and get a quill which had never had a drop of ink on it. Only then would he write God's name, and after he had finished, he would discard that quill and it would never be used again for any other purpose. And he would throw away those clothes which could never be worn again. This is how deeply the name of God was revered in the ancient Hebrew world. You know, one of the Ten Commandments that is almost that goes unheeded almost constantly in the world about us is, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And folks, today, if you've been guilty of doing that, I want you to know that you're encroaching on the most holy things and treating them as if they were not holy at all. And I pray that there will be a new awakening and awareness, a reverence for God. That's what we need back. We need to understand that He's not unapproachable. Through the cross and the blood of Jesus, we can come into the very throne room of God in prayer. We can go behind the veil to praise Him. But He is no less the Holy One. And we need to revere Him, deeply revere Him. Praise the Lord. The word Adon, from which the word Adonai is the plural, is used over 300 times in the Old Testament. It means master. It means Lord. It means owner. And is used for how slaves speak to their masters or subjects speak to their kings. In Deuteronomy 10:17 in the New International, it says, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes." Praise God. Hallelujah. When we say that God is Adonai, we are stating that he is Lord of all and that he is supreme over his subjects. Deuteronomy 10:17 uses three names for God and captures his majestic supremacy. It says, "For the Lord Yahweh, your God Elohim, is God Elohim of gods, Elohim and Lord Adonai of lords." That Adonai, the great God Elohim, mighty and awesome is he. Praise the Lord. Jesus is our Adonai. He is Lord. Praise God. Did you know the devils, the demons in the netherworld are going to have to bow one day? Every person who rejects and rejects the great God of the universe will have to bow one day. And you know what they're going to confess? Not only that there is a true and living God, but that Jesus is Lord to his glory. Every tongue will confess and every knee will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said in Revelation 17:14, "And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." Praise the Lord. Matthew Henry comments on this portion of Scripture. He said, "Here is a victory gained by the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome. Christ must reign until his enemies be put under his feet. He will be sure to meet with many enemies and must meet opposition, but he also will be sure to gain the victory. Here is the ground for that victory assigned and is taken. From the character of the Lamb, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He has both by nature and by office supreme dominion and power over all things. All the powers of the earth and hell are subject to his check and his control." Praise the Lord. Jesus is our sovereign King. If you're a Christian, he is Lord of all. His victory assures us of our victory. We are with him in all the victory of his blood and all the victory of the authority of his name. Listen to this, friend. Revelation 19:11-16. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords." There's no question, friend, that Jesus is our Adonai. Jesus is Lord. The question is he your Lord? Is he my Lord, our Adonai? You know, I have a little bit of a problem when I hear the approach to the gospel that says, you know, you accept him as your Savior, in effect, get your free ticket to heaven, and then you decide to what degree that he will be the Lord of your life, or if he will even be the Lord of your life. So in that case, it should always be rendered in Scripture from that point of view, Savior and Lord. But that's not how those two words are used in conjunction in Scripture. Everywhere you find those two words used in a sentence, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And friend, I just want you to know today, when you come to Jesus and you repent of your sins, one of the great sins, the glaring sins that keep us from a life of obedience before the Lord, is that we do not bow to Him and surrender to His sovereign authority. Oh, He's a good King. He's a great King. He's a wonderful Master. Oh, I'm so glad that He is my Lord, because by virtue of being my Lord, He can also be my Shepherd. Because if I commit to follow Him and let Him do the leading, let Him be the boss of my life, praise God, He's going to lead me to green pasture. Amen. Make me to lay down in it and lead me beside still water. But that Lordship is so vital in my life for Him to lead me to victory and to fulfillment. In order to help us capture the meaning of Adonai, let's turn to the world of pets. How many of you out there have ever had a dog? I've got two of them. Oh, they're rascals, but I love them. And let me see if there's anyone out there, and I wish I could have a show of hands, that you have a cat that you love dearly. And do you, any of you, may have a cat or a dog, and maybe both? There's a cat from the neighbors that hangs out at our house, and we go out front to pet the cat and out back to pet the dogs. They just don't care for cats that much. We have in the book called Cat and Dog Theology, Bob Sorgen describes the different attitudes between a dog and a cat. A dog says, "You pet me, you feed me, you shelter me, and you love me. You must be God." And a cat says, "You pet me, you feed me, you shelter me, and you love me. I must be God." In a humorous way, this book captures how we often approach God. Both cats and dogs want obedience in their lives. Dogs want to obey God. Cats want God to obey them. Dogs worship God primarily for who He is, while cats enjoy what He's done for them. Dogs study theology. Cats study meology. It's easy to think that life is all about us. God does not exist for our benefit. We've been given good gifts for His glory. How many out there in radio land listening today want victory and the new covenant blessings, so that God is glorified, so that we can spread His fame and praise His wonderful name? Praise God. That is the true reason for victory in the Christian life. Praise God. I want victory because I don't like to be defeated. But I want victory for a greater reason than even that. I want victory so that the name of my God may be exalted in my life. We could say it this way: because God has possession of me, I must be in submission to Him. Since He is Lord, I must live under His leadership. He is majestic and He is mighty. I'm but a manager of the resources He's given me. I need to become more like a dog and less like a cat. I exist for Adonai. He does not exist for me, myself, and I. This is summed up beautifully in Psalm 24:1. Listen to this. "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Listen, friend, He's the owner, and I must obey Him. Peter Forsyth was right when he said, and I quote, "The first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master." Amen. In one of the recent books, Larry Crabb writes, and I quote, "There are two basic approaches to life, two pathways. One creates pressure, the other provides freedom. In the old way of life, you've decided what you most want out of life is in your reach, and you're doing whatever you believe it takes to get it. But in the new way of life, you've realized that what you most want is beyond your reach, and you're trusting God for the satisfaction you seek. You want Him, nothing less. Not even just His blessings will do. Amen." When Queen Victoria had just ascended her throne, as is the custom of royalty, she went into a performance. She went to a performance of the Messiah. Her advisors told her she must not rise when the others stood at the singing of the Hallelujah chorus. when the choir belted out, "For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." She stayed seated with great difficulty, but when they proclaimed the Messiah is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, suddenly the young queen rose and stood with her head bowed, as if she would take her own crown and cast it at his feet. She learned the lesson of the lordship of Adonai. Lord in the New Testament means Adonai as sovereign Lord. It's carried over into the New Covenant. It's used of Jesus with the Greek word kurios. Kurios, no less than 747 times. In the book of Acts, Jesus is referred to as Lord in that one book alone 92 times, while he is called Savior just twice. I'm afraid that in the evangelical church, we've overemphasized his role as Savior at the expense of his lordship. Actually, we've often created a false dichotomy by saying that someone can accept Jesus as Savior and not submit to him as Lord. Remember, friend, you find those words together in a sentence. There's never a Savior and Lord. There's always a Lord and Savior. I don't know why anyone would have a problem with his lordship. He is a good and gracious God. He knows what's best. I often quote about our great God, the title to a 50s television serial, and I always say, Father knows best. And we may think we know what's best, and we may have our faith out there to get what we believe is going to be in our and his best interest. But believe me, amen, his ways are above our ways, and his thoughts are above our thoughts, as far as the heavens are above the earth, the scripture declares. And it doesn't mean they're past finding out, but you know how you find out his ways and those things that are hidden from us? By simply submitting to his lordship and the Holy Spirit's leadership. He will lead us in the purpose, the eternal purposed path that he has set for our life. If a door closes in your life and you're disappointed and you're submitted to the lordship of Jesus, you just get ready for another door to open and find your fulfillment in knowing that you're in his eternal purpose and plan, and that God is going to be glorified as you follow him. And listen, you're going to be fulfilled. I've never seen a missionary who left everything to fulfill God's eternal purpose in their life, God's present purpose either, for that matter, and that was unhappy and feeling like they had lost something precious. No, friend, there's a fulfillment in obeying God that nothing that we grasp for in this world can compete with or compare with. Praise God. One prominent pastor of a large church said, "I am convinced that the Church of Jesus Christ visible is filled with unconverted people." Unconverted people. And we can accept some raised hand, signed card, walk the aisle, some moment of whatever emotion to be true salvation. And we say, well, I know they're living in sin, they're committing adultery, they drink a lot, and I know they don't come to church, but I remember the day they walked the aisle. Well, what in the world does that mean? What does that mean, he laments. There are people going across this country widespread in fundamentalist and evangelical circles saying all you have to do to be a Christian is believe the facts of the gospel in one moment of time. If you never believe it again, you become an agnostic and an apostate or an atheist, you're still saved. You don't ever have to bear any fruit. Your life doesn't have to change. It has nothing to do with salvation. Do you know what that kind of gospel does? He says that puts people on the broad road who finally wind up saying, Lord, Lord, and they hear, depart from me, I never knew you. The most frightening thing in the world, he says to me, would be the reality of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20 and following, to think that you're going to heaven and you wind up in hell because someone gave the gospel that wasn't the true gospel. I want to make a pledge here today. I will preach the true gospel. And furthermore, I believe that where the true gospel is preached, God will manifest His presence and His power. There's no way to become a new creation in Jesus Christ and have God's seed in our heart and not have a change in our life. That's not legalism. You don't get to heaven because you're good enough. You can't be good enough. But believe me, when you receive Jesus, not only are your sins forgiven, friend, He comes to abide within you. I love the message to the church of Laodicea, who had a form of godliness that literally denied the person and the power thereof. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me." Amen. I love the fact that Christ comes into our life when we receive Him as our Savior. Amen. I love the fact that His seed remains in us, that we sin not. Doesn't mean we can't, doesn't mean we don't, but it means that it is against the new nature, because you hath He made alive. Your conscience has come alive to God that was dead in trespasses and sins. You and I that are saved today have met the Master, and I don't have a problem at all with Adonai, Jesus being my Lord and Master. You know where my problem is? It's in following Him. I have the heart to do it, but I have struggles with my flesh just like everyone else. But I do not struggle with His right to be the Lord of my life. I want Jesus' Lordship, that I might also have the Holy Spirit's leadership, because He always leads me beside still water. Amen. There's peace when that tension between my God's will and my own will, when I acquiesce to Him, when I defer to Him, when I bow to Him, when He's my Lord and my Savior, that tension is gone in great peace. Even in under pressure, peace floods my soul. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Grace is not cheap, and we must resist the urge to spread the gospel of easy believism. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor who was surrounded by lukewarm church leaders and cultural Christians who supported Hitler. He was imprisoned for his faith, and while in prison, he wrote these words, "Christianity without discipleship is Christianity without Christ. It remains an abstract idea, a myth. There is trust in God, but no following of Christ. If we would follow Jesus, we may take certain definite steps. The first step follows the call, cuts the disciple off from his previous existence." Praise the Lord. It's certainly easier to call Him Creator, Elohim, than to accept Him as Adonai and live under His Lordship. Jesus is our Adonai. And I'm telling you, friend, when you find out, amen, how much He loves you, and you just begin to love Him back. You know how to keep the Lordship of Jesus in your life. The Bible said in 1 John that God is love, and we love Him because He first loved us. Friend, I love the Lord today. And it says in 1 John, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. It's that simple. God just wants you to love Him back, because He's loved you so deeply that He gave His only begotten Son. And when you start loving Him back, you start keeping His commandments. And when you start keeping His commandments, I'm not talking about perfectly. I'm talking about a perfect willingness. And He'll help you with the weaknesses in your life. He becomes your wonderful Lord and Master. You treat Him as the King that He is, and you crown Him as you live your life for His honor and for His glory. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need a new Master today. You need to serve the Lord, not the evil one. If you would bow to the Lord, I guarantee you today and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, your life will go through mighty transformation and change. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you can sleep with great peace tonight, knowing that Jesus is your Adonai and your Savior. Oh, friend, please come back next week, right here on WMAF at this same time, and let's talk about Jesus, our Lord and our love.